Founded in 1976, the Toronto Film Festival is now one of the largest and most prestigious events of its kind in the world. In fact, in 2007, Time magazine noted that TIFF, as it's known, has grown from its place as the most influential fall film festival to the most influential film festival period. Now, this is partially the result of the festival's ability and reputation for generating Oscar buzz. And Boise Weekly's film critic George Prentice is just days away from heading to Toronto to cover the festival. And he's joining me live in studio to chat more about this year's lineup. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, size and scope of the Toronto Film Festival, because this is big.
It is big. So, and I double-checked these numbers. I was talking to some folks at the festival the other day. Last year.
Mm-hmm.
480,000 people.
Attended.
400, that's twice the size of the city of Boise.
Yeah.
480,000 people went to the movies during last year's festival. Stood in line, sometimes early in the morning, sometimes very late at night. It is indeed a people's film festival.
And talk about that being a people's film festival, because a lot of film festivals are not.
This is true, and I've been to most of them, and you know the names. There's Cannes and Sundance, et cetera, and they're swell, but quite frankly, they're defined usually by the people who can't get in as opposed to the people who do. Lots of celebrities, lots of red carpet, and by the way, Toronto has plenty of that too. But I'm here to tell you that this is an event that's very accessible. I'm more and more conscious of how much it costs to go to the movies mm-hmm. or to participate in high-profile events. This is accessible. You can go to a world premiere film for $15 or $20.
Really?
Yep.
So no wonder people come in for, and I would assume with those numbers, people are traveling to go to this.
They are. It's one of the big cities of the world. So obviously you could stay at bed and breakfast, et cetera. I don't work for their chamber, but goodness knows it's a lot different than trying to get a condo at Sundance.
Yeah, right.
Or the south of France. And indeed, these are films, and I know I've said this before, but these are films that you're going to see and that most people are going to see.
And one of the things that I think is interesting about this mm-hmm. was Netflix.
Yeah.
TIFF embraces Netflix.
Yep.
But once again,
very controversial move.
Yeah.
And as you may have read, can ban
right.
Netflix from this year's festival. They actually said, if you will not show this in a cinema in Paris, then you cannot be at the Cannes Film Festival.
Well,
Toronto said, bring it on.
Right. Now,
so if you look at the last couple of years, there was a film called Mudbound last year that I think got nominated for 5 Oscars. It was a Netflix film. There was a film before that, the year before that, Beasts of the Southern Wild. More and more people mm-hmm. are actually seeing their films at home. So there's going to be big premieres of these films, and some of them will be eligible for Oscars.
Really?
Yep.
So that's what's fascinating to me is
so
because there's
be
so there's been a reputation change.
Yep.
Then when it comes,
but
to
it isn't
like
choice. If I were to bring in a bunch of theater owners mm-hmm. in here, they they would tell you Netflix is the burr under their saddle, and I understand that. That said, it's ridiculous to ignore that. What I think is interesting, though, is that these are pretty big films that Netflix is producing now, and you've seen the names that mm-hmm. are attached to some of these films. But it is very different from the other festivals. Toronto has an entire track of television premieres. Yeah,
really?
Series that will premiere over the next 6 to 9 months on CBS, NBC, ABC, Amazon, et cetera, where you'll get to see the first 3 or 4 episodes.
So this has really expanded then from just a film festival.
Yep. And they've got a number of events. That's another thing that I think sets Toronto apart. There's concerts. There's, for instance, Drake, who's, I think, a native of Toronto, is scheduled to do a makeshift concert right out on King Street. There are all kinds of open events. A lot of events, by the way, are for free.
Mm-hmm.
And one or two musical performers who are also acting in this year's festival, they're expected to sing a song or two, too. We'll talk about that in a second.
So how in the world do you do a film festival like this? Because you're talking, you're talking films that are going to premiere in a movie theater.
Yep.
Netflix,
yep.
and then television shows, musical acts.
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of exhausting
to think
about.
I'm going to surprise you here.
Okay.
I didn't show you this ahead of time, or we'll probably have to take a picture of this thing. So most film festivals give you a schedule. This is a book.
Okay. Did you hear that?
It's a bound book. That's this year's festival.
Holy cow!
Those are all the films. And okay, so here's the numbers. There's 342 films at this year's festival. 232 of them are premieres. Over 8,000 submissions. 83 countries represented. So, okay,
How many do you see?
I don't recommend this, but I will see average 5 a day. I don't recommend that. And by the way, I have to take lots of notes because, yes,
you would have
to. Yeah, you forget them. And I don't know how you feel about seeing a film at 8 in the morning. But
I would be okay at 8 in the morning. I would have the problem with like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That would be my problem.
So you're standing in line for every one of them. You're queuing up.
Fancy pants.
No. It's general seating. Now, that said, they do have a separate theater set aside for industry and critics. But this is the full book of the films. And so if you flip through this, though, you say, gosh, I haven't heard of this. You haven't heard of this. No, you haven't heard of any of them. I haven't heard any of them. But a year from now, I pick these up a year later or 2 years later and say, oh, my gosh. These were all the movies that we saw last year. These were all the movies that were up for Oscars, et cetera. So, yeah, 342 films. I try to see 45 to 50 of them. It's a lot.
I'm continuing my conversation with Boise Weekly film critic George Prentice about this year's upcoming Toronto Film Festival. If you haven't heard of TIFF, the Toronto Film Festival, it is one of the largest film festivals in the world. Also, a lot of Oscar buzz that's generated from TIFF, and George goes every year. So let's talk about Oscar buzz and all of that. But they also, what, George, they choose an opening night movie.
It's a coveted slot, and we were talking a little bit about Netflix. Mm-hmm. This was a big gamble. I think it'll be very interesting. The opening night film is a Netflix film.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Even though it doesn't look like a Netflix film, it's called Outlaw King. It stars Chris Pine. Let's take a listen.
I serve Robert Bruce. Join us at Freeland.
I have 50 men to fight the strongest army in the world.
Okay, now, a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big action film. Think Braveheart. That's the true story of Robert the Bruce.
The great Scottish warrior.
Yeah. But here's what worries me a little bit. Maybe I'm a little bit of a skeptic. I was watching the trailer for this, and you don't hear Chris Pine talk too much in the trailer. And I've seen enough costume dramas where American actors try to fake an accent.
Oh.
And if you don't nail it, you giggle through the whole movie. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that he's okay.
Yeah.
But there's something. It's like, why are we not hearing him talk a little bit more in this trailer? Anyway, it's a big film. They will release it. Netflix will release it in theaters for a short while, but it'll be in your living rooms real soon. It's called Outlaw King, and that's the opening night film, a coveted slot.
So have they ever done this before?
Nope. Certainly no other film festival has done it before, but to give Netflix this high-profile slot.
Is this a political statement, you think, from Toronto Film Festival?
I think it's a commercial statement.
Okay.
I really do. I think that they basically say, look, this is where audiences are. And you can either face it or ignore it, but it'll catch up with you soon enough. Netflix is a behemoth.
I'll tell you this. If I could get the movie popcorn that actually tastes like the real movie popcorn, I would be home all the time.
Okay. So, now, speaking of voices that we can hear, I want you to listen to this voice. Name those voices.
Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
They are the stars of the new A Star Is Born, which will have its premiere in Toronto. I think this is the most anticipated premiere at Toronto this year. And I think this smells like a hit.
It really does.
Yeah. And I mean, original music.
Her voice is incredible.
A very scrubbed down Lady Gaga.
Right.
When you first see her in the trailer, you say, wow, who is this actress? Mm-hmm. Well, she's the most famous singer on the planet right now. And Bradley Cooper directed this film, sings.
Now, who knew he could sing?
Exactly. It's a big production, and they chose Toronto to launch this. This is going to be a big launch when it hits theaters later this fall. So, yeah, it's Oscar buzz.
It's Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
So, but has there ever been Oscar buzz and then it flops?
Countless times.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you'd still have to deliver.
Right, because it's the marketing around this
deliver.
Right now.
What's interesting about this particular film and one other that I'm going to talk about is that I think that there are certain films that audiences root for to be good and sometimes even make excuses when it's a little soft around the edges. This might be one of them. I think that she brings her own strong fan base to this, who will probably go nuts for this.
Mm-hmm.
And if the film is any good, it'll probably be really good. And it's a story that's been done three other times with successful actors and actresses. Let's see. We'll see. I'll tell you about it from Toronto.
Absolutely. Well, and she reminds me of Barbara Streisand in
yep.
a bit.
Yep.
I mean, really, the way that she looks in the trailer, it's so similar.
But think of a vehicle that's more perfect for her,
right.
for her talent and original music.
But the storyline too, right?
And the storyline too, absolutely. It's a story of a swan, musical swan. Okay, one other biggie that I think is definitely destined for Oscar buzz. It's called First Man. Let's listen.
It allows us to see things that we should have seen a long time ago.
We have serious problems.
We've got this under control.
You're a bunch of boys. We don't have anything under control.
That is Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I think this checks all the boxes.
I want to see this.
I think this is a big budget, great story, historical story. And most of us think we know the story of Neil Armstrong. Yes, he's the man who walked on the moon, but he was an enigma. And something tells me that this is going to be the film of the fall. What's interesting is that they're going to premiere this film in a structure called Ontario Place, which was built in the 1970s for a World's Fair. It's the very first IMAX ever built anywhere.
Ever.
Anywhere. And so they're going to show it inside Ontario Place, inside this
huge dome
that's out on Lake Ontario.
Oh, my
they're
God.
Flying in many of the living astronauts for this film.
Really?
So it has great credibility inside that industry. It is written and directed by the man who did Whiplash and La La Land, which, of course, Ryan Gosling was in La La Land. It's a highly anticipated film. I think audiences love historical stories, and if they're done and there's action, and I honestly think that most people don't realize how dangerous Apollo 11 was.
What's interesting, too, though, when you say that they're flying in living astronauts, that actually gives even more credibility
Absolutely.
To this, because you know they would not participate
right.
if they did not approve.
Got to get it right.
Yeah.
You got to get it right. Much like if you think back to Apollo 13, the Tom Hanks film, which was brilliant and so successful
right.
and was nominated for Best Picture, which indeed had the blessing of NASA, as does this. And I think this film looks great. It's not only Ryan Gosling, but Claire Foy plays his wife, who and Claire Foy, you know her from playing Queen Elizabeth in The Crown.
Right, right.
She's a fabulous actress. So looks pretty good.
Well, and what's interesting, too, as you say, George, is we don't know much about Neil Armstrong.
Right.
We really don't.
Yeah. He went way under the radar after Apollo 11. He did not cash in on that fame. Let's face it, he was the most famous person in history for decades and decades. And yet we still don't know too much about this man who was not just the man who walked on the moon, but was the commander of this mission and probably the most dangerous thing that mankind has ever done.
So you see it at Toronto Film Festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When do the rest of us get to see these? These
in
don't
the
come
fall.
Out.
Okay, in the fall. And sometimes what happens at a film festival is studios are weighing audiences. And so they strategically place it, let's do this late November, early December, just in time for the Golden Globe nominations, just in time for the Oscar nominations. And it's jockeying position because there's a certain number of films that have slotted for to open on Christmas Day. And it's about being around that. But to technically be nominated for an Oscar, you must be playing in a theater at least 7 days in the calendar year prior.
Oh, okay. So they have to start Christmas Day.
No later than Christmas Day.
So there are also some hidden gems you said that are happening.
I'm looking forward to some of these. So I'm going to mention some titles and tell you a little bit about the films. You'll hear about them coming up. There's a film called Red Joan. I love Judi Dench. I can't get enough of Dench. Mm-hmm. Judi Dench. Jame Judi Dench plays, this is a true story, a British woman who it turns out was this major Russian spy who lived in London for years. That sounds like a movie I want to see.
No kidding.
Intrigue, Judi Dench. She's probably kicking some butt.
You got to see it just based on that.
It's called Red Joan. The Old Man with a Gun. This is Robert Redford's final film. He's announced his retirement from acting with this film. This is the true story of a man by the name of Forrest Tucker. It's a true story. He was a bank robber. He was a lifelong bank robber, and he escaped from a number of jails and prisons. And ultimately, people kind of liked him. He was known as the gentleman bank robber.
Oh, well, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, so that's him, and it co-stars Sissy Spacek and Casey
Affleck. Oh, my gosh, Sissy Spacek.
Yeah. I think this one looks really good, and Redford has said, you know what, I'm more comfortable behind the camera now. So this will be his final performance, and as a result, I think expectations are very high, and he's chosen. What's interesting, he's chosen Toronto as opposed to the Sundance.
Instead of Sundance.
That's right. Yeah, so that tells you a little bit about probably their hopes for an Oscar nomination for Redford. There's a movie called Gloria Bell, which I'm very excited about. This is an American remake of a film that came out a couple of years ago called Gloria, made in Chile, of a woman who goes through some marital strife, but finds a renewal and affirmation in her life on a dance floor. She goes to a ballroom, and she learns ballroom dancing, et cetera. It stars Julianne Moore.
Oh, okay.
And, it looks really good. It's called Gloria Bell. And then The Public, this one is intriguing, and I think this story may sound familiar. It's a story of a public library where homeless people spend their days, much like they do at the Boise Public Library, many public libraries. And one night, it's bitterly cold outside, and they say, look, if we go outside, we'll freeze to death. That sounds probable, too. But then they decide to occupy this public library. And Alec Baldwin stars in this film as a law enforcement officer. And it's called The Public, and I think that it might have some social relevance to it as well as some drama. So there's all these films that are just all over the landscape. Now, I want to tell you a little secret.
Okay.
I've been fortunate in attending the film festival over the years where I get invited to very secret screenings.
Right.
Very secret screenings. But you have to sign, and I'm not kidding, you have to sign legal documents that say that you cannot talk about them. Sometimes it's the movie's unfinished. Sometimes it's a part of a movie, but they want to weigh your interest and see what you think. So it is a privilege to be there, but you must sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, sign your life away.
That's right. You can't mention the title. You can't say, this is what I think, if it's any good, et cetera.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I can't tell you what the title of this this film is, but listen.
Oh, but we can listen.
Listen to this.
Mary Poppins. It is wonderful to see you.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Mary Poppins. Yeah. Well, you can't tell me the title.
I'm not going to mention her name.
Was that Julie Andrews?
That's Emily Blunt.
Oh, Emily Blunt.
This is the big movie that they've been working on for the last couple years that will open on Christmas
Day. Oh, my goodness.
Goodness knows. And that's a movie that's probably critic-proof. So I might.
Well, have such a good time, George. We're going to catch up with you when you're in Toronto and you can tell us what you think of some of these movies.